So your father and his workers got along pretty well.
Yes, I think that once in a while things would, you know, would happen. I know that a great many times on Sunday afternoon late, we went around to check with the different men that were coming to either going to the woods or coming to the mill, because, as I say so many times, Saturday night is celebrated, and you didn't want them to forget to come the next morning. We usually did that.
You would go around to their individual houses?
Uh-huh.
And check on them?
Mm-hmm. Just check to be sure they felt all right. We're going to be there the next day.
Mm-hmm. You said once he had to go after them with guns, or usually he took a gun with
sometimes them? Once in a while, you know, there'd be somebody that was sort of an outlaw that I can think, I wouldn't mention names. And you carried those guns for fear that they might also have a gun. They're just a little devilish, but we did usually carry a gun. Maybe we were thinking of some animals too, but anyway, it was loaded.
Were the men allowed to have guns in camp?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, they had them in. How would you get your bins and stools? Yes, there was no rules, no laws against everybody had guns.
Did your father ever have trouble with your men over scaling?
Did he what?
Ever have trouble with his men over scaling?
Oh, no. I don't think so. I think they would... everything like that was usually worked out very well, because you always let them be with you if they wanted to or anything. And I don't think there was that much of any. And I don't know that everyone then would even know just how the rules. People, some of the men weren't as well educated, couldn't get the education, you know, so that they may not have been able to tell as much as... they would be educated in worldly ways, but not in with things like scales and so forth. And Dad was, I always think, very honest. He wouldn't try to... he wouldn't want them to beat him, but he wouldn't try to beat them either. Money didn't mean that much.
Do you remember any actual trouble he had with somebody or something?
No, the only time I ever remember had any trouble, it was rather funny. Dad had a man whose wife was very, very ill, or else she thought she was for years. And the family always, he worked in Dad's mill. I can't remember whether he might have been a sawyer too. And Mother was always making things and sending it to her up by our children and everything. And one time, Dad was arrested, I think it was, by a game protector. Who said that, he was there and he found Denson in Dad's refrigerator. It was an outdoor one. We had probably had two during a season when you shouldn't have it. Mm-hmm. And of course, Dad didn't know anything about it. It was all wrapped up and all. And he had to go to court and all. And then later, he had to pay a fine. He had to go to Albany. He went to Albany even, because he didn't know it was there. And then he had to pay, it was quite a big fine for those days, we'll say $100 or so, because he had this illegal venison. Then they found it was this man. There was a little jealousy. Something had come up, and this man was angry at him. And... So he put it there to cause Dad the trouble. Isn't that funny? They found out who it was after. It was the one that they'd done so much for his wife.
So how did your father react to this when he found out?
Well, you know, Dad was an easygoing person. He would sort of laugh it off afterwards and forgive anybody, but my mother wouldn't. She was the one that reacted. She really was mad. But I don't believe that... it was that he ever had the same man again, because I don't think my mother would let him. She really had a temper. My father didn't have quite as much as mother did.
Did your mother know much about the running of the mill? Was she involved at all in that?
No, not about actual machinery or things. She wasn't interested in that so much.
But the business side, was she involved?
And the business of it... In some ways, yes, and then in other ways, I say she had so many things with her household and with all the people that were there, she wouldn't have too much time, so that she wasn't so interested in the business either. But she kept track of us, all right. Nobody got away with anything.
Did your father have straw bosses to supervise cutting in the woods when he wasn't there?
You mean...
People under him who would...
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Oh, yes, different, at each camp there would be somebody who would be, And, of course, a great many of the logs, too, besides these camps that they had, he would buy directly from people who owned their own lot, and then they would draw them in, so they would be on their own, you know.
They would cut the logs on their own.
Yeah, and then he'd buy the logs from them, anything that he wanted. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't cut anything that he didn't want, you know, in his territory, because that was naturally.
Can you remember the names of any of the straw bosses in the camps?
Sure, I might be able to think of some, but I know Guy McNasser was always one of them, and I can't remember too many. I remember people around there like Jerry Rushlaw, but he wasn't Roy Rushlaw's father. He wasn't one of the ones that were working there, and Fred LeMay. I would say that would be some of the Wileys who did a lot, or some of the McNassers, or Fredenbergs, you know, but I couldn't just say which ones were the straw bosses and things.
Yeah, did they get paid much more than the rest of the men, or?
Oh, yes, in proportion. I mean, it seemed awfully small now, but each one was more than the regular laborers.
What buildings comprise the mill itself?
We had just the one main floor of the mill with a really kind of a cellar. It wasn't a cellar, but it was wooden, and it went below the dam. And then on that, there was a cement building that held the boiler room. So it would be just the main floor with all the machines on. And then the sawdust, at one time the sawdust went in the river. But afterwards, isn't that funny, when they found out that they would kill fish and everything, I think they just just put the sawdust away, didn't realize. And then, after that, we were stopped doing that. And the sawdust was taken away and burned. Now,
did they stop them, or how they were stopped?
Yes, I think that the fish and game, or I don't know if it was fish and game, but maybe just fishermen would report that fish were being killed because there was sawdust in the river. And then, of course, Dad wouldn't want to either. So, of course, it would cost more money not to, but, I mean, you still wouldn't want to. Almost like pollution, wasn't it? Because everybody in Scary, it was one of the recreations. And so then we had to draw out the sawdust and put it somewhere.
You had no separate building for planing lumber?
No, the planing was in the same building. It was all in the same.
What about the dry kiln? Was that the same?
The dry kiln was separate. That was just across the bridge and then on the left, right near the river. But it was in a separate building. And then, of course, we had to keep fires there all the time in the dry kiln to keep it for so many days, each batch of lumber that was put in. Mm-hmm. And it was all piled separately so that the warm air kept going through. I can't remember fans, but there was a ventilator at the top that it would naturally bring the heat up and go out the roof.
How large was the actual mill building, the big one?
I would think it would maybe be around 60 feet by 60 feet, somewhere around that, the floor.
And it was how many, two stories high?
Yeah, two stories.
Mm-hmm. Was the roof like this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What was it like on the outside?
Just rough boards. Not clapboards or anything, just rough boards, and not, they didn't meet the, was a hole, you know what I mean?
Also, how about the dry kiln? How big was the dry kiln?
The dry kiln, I would have thought, would have been about 30 by 50, just remembering it. And that was quite a high building. It must have been 25 feet, maybe 30 feet high, so that the lumber could be piled. And
what was the dry kiln made of, the outside of the dry kiln?
That was, it must have been papered and clapboarded, because it had to be kept, all the heat had to be kept in. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been clapboarded.
The roof of the main mill was?
Cedar shingles. We made cedar shingles. Yeah. And so we used the.
Did you make cedar shingles in the main mill itself?
Did
you make the cedar shingles in the main mill?
Uh-huh. Need those. That was another thing that we sold. The cedar shingles.
And the boiler room was just concrete, or?
No, the floor was all lumber. 2-inch plank. And everywhere, I think. The mill and everywhere. Didn't use as much concrete then.
Mm-hmm.
As they do. Yeah. It must have been concrete for the pilasters and things like that. Because the stone was that, but I can't remember so much using it, you know.
Well, how was the dry kiln was fed from fires underneath it?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't fed from the steam from the boiler room.
Uh-huh. And the steam in the boiler room was also from wood, because we had immense quantities of wood. So we had one man who was there all the time running the boiler and so forth. And he probably might have help with wood and everything, but I mean, he was running, watching the gauges and things like that.
There was no connection, physical connection, between the boiler room and the main mill. The boiler room and the dry kiln. Right?
Oh no, they're across the river and quite a ways from each other.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So somebody had to keep the dry kiln going also all the time.
Uh-huh. That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did the main mill set right in the river on cement piles?
Yeah, it was the part of the dam and the sluiceway and everything ran right and under this main floor of the river, so that the water went and sluice and everything. And then there's more of the dam at the right.
How many water wheels did you have to run your mill?
Just the one big water wheel. Mm-hmm. It was a big one.
Did you ever play near the water wheel?
Oh, yeah, we played over there a great deal. Uh-huh. We didn't learn to swim well. there's mostly logs in the mill and so forth. But I remember that some of them, Dad and one or two others could do a few side strokes, you know, and it would go across where it went into the water wheel. But there were so many logs and things, and it wasn't a good, in the mill pond, it wasn't a good place to swim, because we rolled them all in to wash them before.
Mm. How big was the mill pond about?
I would say that it would be a quarter of a mile long, about, and maybe 1/8 of a mile wide at the widest part. It wasn't awfully large, but it was fairly deep.
Mm-hmm.
One time after, a good deal of the logs were cut off, they'd always have deadheads and so forth that would sink in the mill. That I think they ran the mill for 3 or 4 months just draining it and taking out the logs that had gone to the bottom. And they were in perfect condition. The lumber is when it's in the water like that.
Mm-hmm. Were all the saws after a while in the mill run by steam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When they didn't use the water wheel, it was all run by steam. Uh-huh.
When did you stop using the water wheel?
I can't remember. I would say, in 13 or 14, I would say, but I wouldn't be positive about that day.
But you can remember when it was once all water wheel.
Yes, I can remember, without dates, I can remember them building it for the steam boiler. I don't think at that time that we had quite as many machines as we did after the boiler was put in.
Can you now tell us exactly how many different machines you had in the mill and what they were used for?
We had, of course, the saw and
the big saw, you mean.
And the planer, and then a plane and matcher, and then a trimmer.
Was the big saw was circular, right?
Circular.
The trimmers, were they also circular?
No, the trimmers would go each. Yeah, they were circular. Oh yes, I thought what you meant. Do they run off the same belt? No.
Oh, did they have? Were there two trimmers that would go along the side of
the? Yes, along the
side. They were off the different belt though than the big saw.
Yes. Yeah. Then the slab saw.
What was that like?
Pardon?
What was the slab saw like?
Oh well, that hung from the ceiling. With the thing, and you pulled it like that. The saw was here on this iron shaft and run by a belt up above, and then you just the saw moved. You put the wood on here, and this is an opening for the saw, and you pulled the saw back and forth, and that cut it into the length that you had it set at.
Mm-hmm. Was it a circular saw?
Uh-huh.
You had no band saws in your mill.
No, we didn't have any bandsaws up in Scary. I can't remember one. I can't remember what the shingle saw was. There was also a shingle saw. But I can't remember. Isn't it funny? I can't remember what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
What was the planing and matcher you mentioned?
That was a machine that you just put the lumber through. And you set it if you wanted 4-inch flooring. It was set and so that each board as it went through was planed and matched at the same time. So that it was tongued and grooved would be the same expression, you know.
Right.
And then it was made into flooring. It
had
how
would
killed.
The saw do that? How would it seem?
Like knives. That was knives and would go around. These knives would be set into this place here and the knives would revolve like this. And then at the side, there was a wheel. Isn't it funny? It's funny how it's hard to describe it. It was a diameter here with the knives going around, and then it set into the machine up here. And this revolved this way. One of them would be made so they made a groove, and the other would be made so it would make the V that would come into it. On separate ones.
How many logs would you run through the mill during an average month?
On the average month, I think that
or day or whatever you
First in a day they planned on running about 10,000 feet a day, and that being an 8-hour day, so that. Yes, when you subtract your Sundays and so forth, they always worked on Saturday.
Right.
And so it's around 10,000 feet a day, I think. That would be about 200,000 a day.
What was the main type of wood you used? Hardwood?
Mostly birch and maple in the hardwood. There's very, very few oak around here, and birch and maple were the ones that were considered that.
Cherry? Was much cherry up there?
I beg your pardon?
Was there much cherry?
Oh, not very much. We made cherry. I mean, there was not as much. Of course, we had Cherry Hill. I think that what was now Vic Peretta's house, the Dale Ballard's, that was all, I guess it was birch. Something was cherry on the inside. That was all furnished from Scary. When they used to seal their houses, you know, with matched lumber.
It was planed afterward on the planer, right?
Uh-huh. It was planed and matched at the same time.
Uh-huh.
The top planer knife and then matched too, so that would be done at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, these saws have to be sharpened quite often.
Oh, yes. You had a filer all the time that was filing. I think if I remember that Guy McNasser was one of the filers.
They were considered quite valuable people.
Oh, yes. Because if it wasn't filed right, nothing would... It had to be perfect.
So they got a very good salary, too.
Yes, they would get as much as a sire, you know. Mm-hmm. And yes.
Did your father work in the mill a lot?
Yes, he didn't. Not steadily, but I mean, he could do every position. Mm-hmm. So that if anybody had to be away or something like that, never was stopped. He could do everything in the mill.
Uh-huh. Did you have a mill carpenter?
A mill carpenter?
Mm-hmm. Who did the repairing jobs?
Oh, no, I think that, if anything needed, Dad, we had people that were carpenters, like Guy McNasser, again, was a carpenter and could do things and everything, but Dad would spot it and have them do it.
Did you have a mill blacksmith?
Yes, Eggleston. What was the name of the blacksmith?
Remember his first name?
I think that it was Earl. He oftentimes worked for us out here, and it seems if Earl was up there too and scary. Earl Eggleston.
Did the mill have a blacksmith shop that was owned by it?
Yes. I can't remember. Seems if it was underneath the mill, if I remember correctly. And then it seems if later we had another blacksmith shop across the opposite side of the road from the dry kill. I think there's a blacksmith shop there. And I can't remember whether that one was owned by my dad or whether it was somebody that ran it themselves and we had them do work for us. Because that might have been a separate one.
What kind of wood did your customers want the most?
You know that you don't remember selling wood so much in Scare or anything. You sold soft wood like that for houses and things and drawn. And soft wood sells lots faster and did then than hardwood. So it was mostly spruce then. They didn't buy as much pine as they do now. But spruce is a little stronger and still soft. And then we would sell to Plunkett Webster and other large companies that we loaded on the cars, hardwood, like flooring and things mostly. But we did deliver a lot of 2x4s and mats, lumber. I can't remember just what the hardwood flooring would be, unfinished now, but we'll say around $400. And I know I have seen invoices of Dad's to Plunkett Webster where he did all the work that was kill-dried and made into flooring and delivered on the cars at North Bangor at $9 a thousand. Can't believe it, can you? It's so funny.
Compared to today, it's steel.
We'd be millionaires now if we had a little bit of that, wouldn't we?
Was the majority of the wood you cut, or the majority of the trees the mill cut, softwood or hardwood?
I think that at that time that we saw a cut a little more hardwood than softwood.
But later on you cut more
softwood afterwards. But I think at that phase of the answer was more hardwood.
Uh-huh. And your softwood mainly went to local customers?
You see, if you were building a house or something there, you would use softwood because it's easier to use, much easier to nail and so forth, until you got to your flooring.
Was it cheaper too?
And at that time, I think it would be almost on a par. Mm-hmm. But it's much easier to use softwood than hardwood.
Mm-hmm. Did your father ever replant any of the trees he cut?
No, we didn't. There wasn't the opportunity to get the trees or do it then. I mean, and he said so many times afterwards, just think if we had known and thought of doing it. I don't think it was thought of at that time. There was so much they didn't think that it was necessary, you know. But he had wished he had. when we got to be in Malone, you know, and wished that. But it wasn't, they just didn't think of it.
How often did they bring logs or lumber to Malone?
Well, of course, that would depend upon how's it, but we sold quite a bit. And I would say that maybe we'd have a team come out once a week or so with a load, once or twice a week with loads of lumber, maybe more.
Did you sell more lumber and logs in Malone as the mill grew older?
Well, we sold quite a bit here, and then we sold, well, like even in North Lawrence, and the different Bangors and Moore and things that we sold quite a lot out in that direction, too.
Who owned the lumber yard in Malone when you were up at the mill?
Before Dad bought it, he bought from Burton Reynolds. Right. Burton Reynolds owned half of it, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then Charlie Wilding was in with them. I think that was established in 1903, if I remember correctly, with Burton Reynolds and Charlie Wilding, if I remember. And Dad bought out from Burton Reynolds in 1918.
Didn't Mr. Short have anything to do with that?
Oh, yes, that's right, Wallace Short.
He was before Burton.
Yeah, before Burton Reynolds, so that, I'd forgotten. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes.
What kind of lumber did they buy from you when you were up at the mill?
Well, I would have thought that at that time that they would have bought more hardwood if they had, because see, we had a dry kill in Fuente Mesa, and not to my knowledge was there ever a dry kill down here. Mm-hmm. You know, so I would have said it would have been more hardwood, unless they just really got out of softwood and wanted it, you know.
Mm-hmm. How were orders taken? Were they taken months in advance or days, or how did you plan? How would your father plan on how much he'd need?
Like, on for his men?
Yeah, how would he know, how much wood he needs for a certain month to hire so many men? Were they actual contracts he'd get with people?
Oh, yes, I think so. Mm-hmm. That they'd know, that he'd know. And you go, too, by the year before a great deal, by how the demand has been, if it's been steady, that you know you'd have to have so many.
Do you have any big contracts with any, like Plunkett Webster?
Plunkett Webster. Well, as I remember it, I think that many times they would take all that you manufactured, you know, because they were one of the ones that took a lot, and they were big wholesalers, and I think they call it he'd manufacture after they.
And the other companies like Plunkett Webster.
Yes, there are other companies like that, and I just remember them better. I don't know why, and I've seen the invoices, but there are quite a few companies, you know, that would.
Did he do business with the Vermont School Seed Company?
I can't remember. No.
About the Oval Dish.
Not to my knowledge, theirs at that time. No. I didn't remember the name at all.
He never sold anything to Brooklyn Cooperage, did he?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised if we might have then, because Reynoldston did, didn't he?
Yeah, that was a big contract.
And I was going to say, I think that maybe Brooklyn Cooperage we might have, if I could find the invoices and things. I've seen them, but I don't know, they might have been destroyed, you know, moving. Yeah, but Brooklyn Cooperage is a name that's very.
What months did you run the mill? What months out of the year?
Well, I think that the mill was run mostly during the warm months in the summer, when it, beginning in May and ending in October, because then the logging was done. And
the logging was done during the winter.
During the winter, when they could bring it in with sleds.
Then they dump it on the mill pond?
Yes, they were put on the side of the pond all during the winter and filled in, and then let down enough so that they would roll. The sides were very high, and you could put them up in skidways and then roll them down as they wanted them into the pond. That was one of our pastimes out there, was running on the logs across the pond. Mm-hmm. Because you could, with a pond to be so full, it wasn't the safest thing in the world if you slipped between them, because that, but you...
Did you ever fall in?
A few times.
But did your parents?
And I was lucky enough to have my father with me. Dad always used to let me do everything, and he taught me to run across. I had one thing experience that was rather kind of lucky. I was running ahead of Dad and somebody else, and running in the road in front of the skidways, and evidently the jar of running had dislodged a big log, and something, I tripped and fell down just at the same time, and the log went right over me without hitting me. It was, you know, a huge log that could have killed me very nicely, but didn't.
You had skidways along the side of the pond?
Uh-huh, all the way along, yes.
How were the logs drawn into the mill?
Well, you see, they were all put in the pond. Mm-hmm. And we would have men with cant hooks just up on the skidway, and they'd just have to start them, and then they'd roll down the banks into the pond. And then they had these pikes, and big pike pole that has a hook on them as well as the spear at the end. And now, as they came up toward this cable thing, you know, they would go into the sluice, it would just come up through and keep turning all the time, and the logs are just put on with a pipe pole, and then they went right up in front of the saw and put on.
How were they prevented from rolling into the pond when you didn't want them to? Was there something on the skidway that held them back?
Yeah, they would stick in just pile it in so that it, and stick it in the ground so that they couldn't run or go down until they wanted them.
Were there ever any accidents around the mill very much?
Very, very seldom. They were careful, and I can't remember a serious one, which is very lucky. I can't remember a serious one. They were worried about them, though, because we didn't have doctors in those days that you could get quickly, and they're careful.